learned a whole bunch of tricks of the trade that if you didn't know what was going on your own game or your own table, you'd get taken to the cleaners and so would everybody else in a New York second. So you had to learn a few tricks to keep the thieves out, even in the simplest game. So I believed I had a little more sophistication in these processes than the people who were testifying in front. And I'm personally very, very strongly advocating here that if we're going to do something, let's finally do it right and not turn it over to a bunch of amateurs to run a couple $100 million business. I appreciate your comment very much.
I will add one comment to that. I believe that people with criminal backgrounds that are over 5 years should have an opportunity to reintegrate into society and have a chance. I think something current. You know, but I mean, if someone's got their rights restored to them or pardoned or served their time, when's it end? You know, there's a balance to all issues, and I wanted to touch on that, too. You know, you can't have a crook running something, but if someone has changed, you've got to give them a chance. Or give them a chance, too. Where do they go? You know, the federal government, if I hire someone on one of the buildings to do janitorial or something, they'll insure them for me and bond them because they want to help people out in certain types of businesses. Thanks.
Let me just respond on that, because that's a comment I raised earlier, and I'm gonna disagree with you on that one, John. When it comes to a felony, you don't get to vote. That's very precious, right? When it comes to a felony, you don't get bonded to be a clerk in a bank or a teller in a bank. I mean, there's a whole batch of things that go with it, and I'm concerned that if we're going to run a clean and a professional operation in this state, it's unfortunate, but for me personally, I draw the line there, just like they do on banks, just like the police do. I mean, you can't go in and become a policeman. You can't go into the United States Armed Services. I mean, there are some things that are just not available, and I think this should be one.
I agree with you, except for the exception if they've had their full civil rights restored or pardoned.
Okay, thank you. The next person we've got is Don Skews. Don Skews, excuse me.
My name's Don Skewis. Mr. Chairman, I represent a couple of organizations that have a permit or had one, and also represent myself as a bar owner. I was back in 1988, I got involved in this. And I was in Mr. Donnelly's office with Mr. Mark Kagan, and vendors at that time were in the bill we were talking about. And I was supposed to get a copy of it before it got dropped in, but never did happen. We worked with these people in all these different organizations that handle these pull tab thing, and we've tried to come up with every possible way to clean this thing up. We're offering more percentage third-party vendors do than operators. Operators, they have their expenses, that's fine. We've also told them, why don't you just have us give the charities their half the money up front? They certainly couldn't get hurt that way, could they? I don't imagine the operators would want to do that, but I know some borrowers would complain about it, but it's just a matter of doing business. When we buy alcohol, or whether you buy bread at the grocery store, you pay for your inventory up front. And that's all it is. It's a matter of doing business. But you've put a whole lot of nonprofits that really need the money, and which is worse, nonprofits who created a system on this money that no longer have this revenue, it's their only revenue. The two nonprofits I'm talking about are two of them. I've sold five different nonprofits in this town. I gave 100% to them at different times. MS is one, MDA, Ashley Arbanchar, and the Alaska Repertory Theater. Also, talk about bonding and borrowers are disreputable and all that. None of us are felons, I can guarantee you that. We couldn't get a liquor license. As far as the felony statement here, all I got to say is Charles Manson can sell full tabs, but a shoplifter who stole $101 worth of something can't. That makes no sense. A felon's a felon in my book. But we do have liquor licenses, and they're worth a lot more than $25,000. And I can guarantee you the ABC board damn sure snatched us. They caught us cheating. All the other person can lose their bond. Again, a lot of these nonprofits are run by volunteers, and they don't have the expertise to go out and do a lot of the things. That's why a lot of the vendors, the operators are involved. That's a shame, but again, the ones that do have the moxie to run it themselves, if you would take a list of probably 2,000 permittees and just poll them by phone and ask them which they would rather deal with, I think you'll come up with your answer on whether or not you need third-party vendors.
Thank you, Don. Any questions? Appreciate you coming forward today. Next person we have is Mark Griffin. But that's by James Britton.
Yeah, I'm James Britton. I'm representing the KW Post 1052 in Mountain View. And I'll be real brief. We support this bill, and if this is what it takes to get the third-party vendor back online, then I think we should go with it just as it is. I agree with the gentleman that said that we probably should have a professional gaming commission to help regulate this, and I think it would cut a lot of the paperwork and unnecessary delays in regulation enforcement and that type of thing. I also believe that on page 2 here, on lines 23 through 26, that does have a big loophole there that should be closed. And I agree that, you know, the way this is written, you know, a convicted felon after 5 years is allowed to participate. But if somebody's involved in a misdemeanor, they're out of it forever. So I think that should be closed up, that little gap there. And
well, now, that's only if the misdemeanor is both gambling or crimes.
But it still makes the misdemeanor more serious than the felon. See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it's directly related to
the directly related
type of activity. Yeah.
Yeah. But I agree with what the gentleman said. And I say that we have in-house pull tabs, and we just did get our license renewed. And but I am familiar, we were selling third party. And this whole thing is they're trying to fix something that wasn't broken. We didn't have any problem. Nobody was cheating us to take care of our own business. And I think the other charitable gaming organizations have said pretty much the same thing. So I support the bill. Thank you. Together.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate your coming forward today. We have Lanny Siegel.
Are we on? $0 through this source of revenue. since January 1, and we have found no reasonable way to operate under these regulations. And we're in serious hopes that this organization can come out with a bill that will work for us. And we have found that, first of all, we're fairly visible organization in the community, number one. However, we're not doing mental health things. We're not diabetes or heart association, etc. But we're a viable. We perform a service in the community and as well as the state. I suppose the lady from mental health would consider a way to get rid of some stress, at least, if not restore your mental health. At any rate, we would encourage the committee to develop a bill that will allow third-party vending of some reasonable percentage that will allow vendors to participate with us at least make a dollar out of this thing so that they can afford to contribute to what we do in the future. So, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Juno. Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
John Hansen would like to make a comment if you've got just a minute.
Sure, in regard to this particular witness?
The previous witness, sir.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Taylor and Mr. Blomfield, I did want to state for the record that our department does support and vigorously support the formation of a gaming commission. And I also wanted to say that no one supports that concept more than myself, and I think it's the way to go. And that's clearly the way other states handle this dilemma. And I think it's about time we do that. And Senate Bill 4 does address that issue, and let's hope we can get that one through. Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay, thank you, John. We set 5 o'clock the time we're going to go on to the teleconference. We still have some people to testify in Anchorage, so we're going to mix those in as we go. Because we have so many people testify, we're going to try to make the statements even shorter if it's possible. Try to limit people to 3 minutes. We'll start first in Homer, then we'll come back to Anchorage for a person. Next person to Homer is Larry Seep, SEIP. After that in Anchorage, it's going to be Vernon Hill. Can you hear me in Homer?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm Larry Seep, and I have a letter here that I sent to the House Representatives here on February 13th, and I'd just like to take this time and read it off to you. It should only take a couple minutes, but it's my ideas of the gaming industry. It seems that I have to disagree with Mr. Boyko, quote, business as usual. So I decided to take it upon myself to draft my own policy-making ideas on the issue of the Alaska Lottery and charitable gaming program. It would start off by giving the seal of the state of Alaska to the entire lottery and gaming program, along with all vested power over lottery and charitable cause gaming, with the acting governor having line item veto and being able to override the 13-member board's decisions. The 13-member board would be made up of a member selected from each of the 10 boroughs and 3 unified home rule municipalities. Legislatures and Senate involvement would be only on an advisory, voluntary, charitable basis, being the program is designed to operate from revenue it generates within its network. Lobbyists and any other sort of influence would be outlawed. The program's purpose being to promote the enhancement of feeding the hungry. It should try to increase Alaska's grain reserves, along with getting more adequate rural rescue, medical, and fire equipment. Better libraries throughout the state play a role in the development of secondary state recreational programs, examples being bike and walking trails, start removing pedestrians away from vehicular traffic, municipalities, cities, or villages wish to borrow funds to have revenue-generating projects established, the board would review the request and make a decision. Interest rates would be designed not to exceed 5%, which brings us to the point of cost projections. To run this agency yearly, operating costs would be in the range of $3 to $4.2 million. Revenue intake would be far below $90 million for the first 2.5 years of operation. Expectation for the first 2.5 years of revenue intake would be 45 million each year due to establishing new marketing practices. Distributors would earn 13 cents on the dollar, and they may donate to any charitable cause they deem fit. I think that's about how I feel about the whole issue.
Okay, well, thank you, Larry. Appreciate your taking the time to come to the teleconference today. Any written comments you or any other witnesses have that you'd like to submit in writing, you can leave with the teleconference moderator.
Who was I talking to down there?
Well, we had him present at various points, all of the committee. Some are, as you know, some are here. Some are left and some are returning. But it's the Labor and Commerce Committee plus Representative Dave Choquette.
I like to say, I sent this letter to the House, all House members down there, and can you let me know if any of you received it?
We're not in Juneau now to say, but we will.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Is Vernon Hill here? Okay, Carol Wilson? After Carol's done, we'll go next to Gail Neely in Juneau.
Thank you. I'm going to really save the committee some time and give you my comments in writing, but some of the things that have been said here today are sort of, I think, a sad story. There's a lot of blame to be thrown around, but I don't see that that's very constructive. I do want to congratulate Representative Choquette for having the guts to try to straighten out the situation. It may not be ideal, but it would help the nonprofits and the charities that are without their income at the present time. I represent a trade association. Basically, it's the Alaska Cabaret Hotel Restaurant and Retailers Association. Bars do sell full tabs for many of the people who spoke here today. Their income is severely curtailed. We would like to see this corrected. So I'll give you my comments in writing. I should point out they're the same comments that we have had for the past year and a half. We just changed the date. We asked that the legislature address this issue, and we did that over a year ago. So hope you do it this year.
Thank you, Carol. That is the nature of the system. You did the same thing a lot. Do we have Gail and Juno now?
Yes, this is Gail Neely. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I've been a third-party operator with these pull tabs for probably 4 or 5 years, and I think that the new bill that they've drafted up is really good. It does bother me that the third-party operator was not allowed to operate them where the pull tab partners were, and they were only giving 15%. I think that 15% needs to be raised. And the only thing in the paper that I've got that I'm curious about, it says an amount equal to the ideal net less the compensation paid to the vendor shall be paid by the vendor to the permittee or operator at the time that the member in charge or operator delivers the pull tab series to the vendor for sale. After operating them for 5 years, very, very seldom do you get the ideal net on a box. If you open, we're a very small operator. We run one box at a time, and we run it for one nonprofit organization. And if, like, all the winners come up in the front, you've got 200 or 300 or 400 tickets that are just sitting there. People won't buy them because they know that there's no winners in there. And so I think that should be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's an interesting point. We'll have discussions on Tuesday probably about that. I'm sure John knows your comments. We'll go now in Anchorage to Rosalie Nadeau. Rosalie, you're here? After Rosalie, we're going to go next to Glenn Allen to Nick Zerbinos.
I'm trying to figure out what I do with this mic. That's off. Turn it off when you're not speaking, but it looks to me as if it's on.
The switch to the top. Good enough.
Yes, but it's on. My name is Rosalie Nadeau. I'm the Executive Director of the Armed Services YMCA. I'm also on the Board of Directors of the Mental Health Association. So I am intimately involved with FullTab, both through the Y, which runs its permits through an operator, and through the Mental Health Association, which has traditionally been a self-directed organization. I think that Mr. Hansen had indicated that the emergency regs, as they now sit, are okay, that they're working. He needs to talk to a few more people. They're not working. They prohibit and curtail the income. I'd like to recommend, perhaps, that maybe a delegation of or a representative committee of permittees representing those permit holders, i.e. the nonprofits, be pulled together to talk about what they see as problems. And we've attempted to do that by providing a coalition format for nonprofit gaming that is primarily made up of permit holders. And we've been addressing that. Mr. Choquette's bill addresses many of the problems that are there. Sometimes regulators, with the best of intentions, do not see the perspective from the side of the permit holder or the operator. I guess, and you probably heard it earlier today, don't fix what ain't broken. And that tends to be the general consensus. I have no problem with including vendor in the bill, but generally the third-party vendor system has worked pretty efficiently for nonprofits. Operators have utilized it. There may be some tinkering that one might want to do with percentages, but if one assumes that a nonprofit has, as an administrator, a competent kind of manager, you have to allow that nonprofit, as a small corporation business, to make some mistakes managerially, which means it may draw a contract which does not give it the best possible deal in terms of percentages, while another one may get one developed that gives it more than the state would see as appropriate. I think those are management kinds of decisions, and outside of very broad parameters, need to be left in the hands of the management for those permittees. Most of us find that that works pretty well. I think that gaming is a business that may not have been the intent that the legislature set out, but those of us who run nonprofits have to hire or contract with an operator competent people to work for us in order to maximize the money we have available to provide services. If we do that right as managers, we don't need quite so much protection. And I think that perhaps part of the problem has not been lack of protection from the state side, but maybe inadequate management skills, and those are things the state really can't fix. So I really would encourage you to make sure that the regulations are permit holder friendly. If the goal is to see that the money is returned to provide the services that the various charities and nonprofits provide, and what you need to do to make sure that you don't hurt those very agencies that you're aiming to help. That's different from the philosophic question of whether gambling ought to be. I think that we've made that decision, and now we're trying to figure out how it ought to be. I think with that, I'll leave my written comments that I've had sent to Juno to fill in. But I think it's an important issue that needs to have much more input from the permittee with the regulatory side of the House than it has had to date.
Thank you, Rosalie. Next person we'll have is Nick Zerbinos, then we'll be back in Anchorage for Rita Thompson. Nick, can you hear me?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nick Zerbinos had to leave early. I just have one observer here, so Glenn Allen will pass at this time.
Okay, then we'll go to next to Minnie Fisher and Matt Sue. Minnie, are you there?
This is Matt Sue. Minnie Fisher had to go away.
How about Roger Cunningham?
I'm Roger Cunningham.
Would you like to testify?
Yes, very shortly. I've been listening concerning the Gaming Commission, and I wish to put my full and complete support behind the Gaming Commission in general, but most particularly SB4 by Senator Zaroff. I will be making some written comments concerning some fine-tuning that I believe the Choquette bill needs, but in general, I support the bill. By fine-tuning it, I think it'll be a very viable gaming mechanism for all of us in this industry. With that, I'll close and pass it off to someone else.
Okay, so I appreciate your taking the time today, Roger, to come forward and testify. Is Rita here in Anchorage? Do you want to testify, Rita? After Rita, we'll go next to James Carlton in Ketchikan.
My name is Rita. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
My name is Rita Thompson, and I'm here with the nonprofit health agency. I represent MOFC. And we are, with the exception of myself, we are totally a volunteer staff or volunteer people, and there is no conceivable way that we could hire on any extra person to take over. And this money is very, very much needed to help us just maintain with the rising cost of everything. And then if you look at your latest power bill in Anchorage, I don't know how the rest of you are out there, but ours went up 14% over this past winter. And that is quite a jump. And we want to know where the PUC is. But we do support, though, an idea of a commission. The only thing with a commission that we have some reservations about would be who is going to appoint the commission. And is their term indefinitely, or is it going to be controlled through the legislature body, or is it going to be controlled through the governor's office? Or once again, we're going to wind up with appointees, which is one of the problems, is the reason we have one of the problems that we have now. With each new governor we have somebody else maintaining the Department of Commerce. And that leads to a lot of problems and a lot of critical places. And I want to say that with all our legislative body, with the exception of you two gentlemen that have chose to remain, the rest of them have deserted us out there. So if you're listening, on the party line, they're gone. I also want to address a comment to John Hansen. John, you got rid of the only one that we could talk to, the nonprofits could talk to out there. I don't know what you did to him, but we sure do miss him.
What's her name?
And Kent, we need you back. And this one you got up here now is of no value to us. He just gives us a hard time. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman?
We do have a legislative intendant, and we have the committee staff in Juneau.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, there as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Parnell?
Thank you. I just wanted Rita to know that we're still listening here in Juneau.
Thank you. I understand there's a large group there beside you as well.
Well, the room is half full, so we've got a good crowd.
Representative Parnell is there as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Carlson, are you there in Ketchikan?
Roger, I'm ready. Thank you, Mr. Thurman, and for the committee for letting me testify. I'm Tim Carlton, City Council. And the chairman of a city and borough tax committee made up of two councilmen and two borough assembly plus the director of revenue, and trying to clean up our ordinances, looking for ways to collect tax, both sales and property. Recently, the city passed a resolution sent to all legislators and both boards, the Alcohol Control Board and Board of Games of Chance and Skill, and I would like to briefly hit the highlights of the resolution. It says current owners of liquor licenses and licenses game of chance and skill in the city of Ketchikan are delinquent on payment of taxes, and the state of Alaska controls the sale, renewal, and transfer of these licenses. That's what we're asking for, is for you to
time somebody is selling, renewing, or transferring their license, that cannot do so until all delinquent taxes are current. One of our major problems, let me show you, give you a couple of examples. We have games of advanced open license, of which three are delinquent. Two of those total $15,000. Sit down and hold on to your seat. The third one is delinquent, $359,489.59. $359,489.59. That's as of the end of January. It's been the same resolution to the Alcohol Control Board. We have approximately 50 vendors here in town that are selling alcohol one way or another. Six are delinquent, and it was around $31,000 to give some kind of an idea what's going on. It's what we want you to do is put something in the seat. We'll not let those people go ahead until we say okay. I'm standing by for any questions or comments.
Thank you. Next person we're going to have is Jerry Carter in Mattoo. And then we're going to go to Noam Robert Lewis. Jerry, are you still there in Mattoo?
People that are working, that are playing bingo go by
operator station to go to the bathroom and whatever, and can see what is going on at all times. There is no way that the caller can slant the numbers towards an employee that might be playing. I think that portion of it should be changed to say a game of pool taps, not just a game conducted by the operator. It should be specified pool taps. And another thing that has struck me as being funny, I've lived here in Nome all my life, and years and years ago, before we became a state, that they didn't have pool taps, but they had punch boards. And I'm wondering why, when they legalized pool taps, they didn't legalize punch boards, because they're relatively the same thing, only a little different, a different construction. And it's just an item to throw around, throw out for discussion. And that pretty well takes up what I have to say today, although I endorse Senate Bill number 4 as it's been written here for this gaming commission. I think that is a must. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. I don't have the answer to that question on punch ports. Is Al Beasley there? No, while we're there?
Yes, I am.
If you'd like to testify now, that'd be great.
Yeah, my comment is has to do with the use of proceeds. I represent the Nome Arts Council. I also represent right now several other Nome nonprofit organizations. We're in the middle of a cultural exchange with Providinia, as a lot of people know. There's a lot of travel going back and forth between Nome and Russia. We have a lot of cultural exchange, artists, musicians, dancers going back and forth. Now, under Section 1, by Statute 05-15-150, we're not allowed to use proceeds from pull tabs for travel out of the state at the present time. And in the past, we have donated money for travel out of the state. We've been caught on that as a violation. But we would like to, if there's possibility, to get a regulation change permitting nonprofit groups to contribute to Soviet Alaska travel, either as a blanket type regulation or one for specific instances with approval of the commissioner. I also had a talk with Richard Foster, and he sent me a copy of a bill that he would like to introduce, that if we can get past the bill and just covered with the regulation, that would be fine with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your coming forward. There isn't anyone else in Nome today who wants to testify, is there?
No, there isn't.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll next go to Jay Hunnison in Anchorage and then to Kodiak.
People that they're already cutting staff, they're laying
the status quo is, you know, legislation is still processed, and we're going to do the best we can. You have to work on the administration for immediate relief. Thank you for taking the time to come forward today. Before I go to Kodiak, is anyone else in Anchorage who wanted to testify? Okay, in Kodiak, we have Jim Fisk signed up. Jim, are you there?
Can you hear me, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yes, good afternoon. It gives me a great pleasure at this time to testify on behalf of the House Representative Coquette's bill. I've been involved, and in, as they said earlier, with his aide who has worked 4 months putting this together. And before I get into that, I'd like to know if the legal statutes has ran out on Representative Taylor's illegal gambling.
Well,
is there any comment on that from Mr. Taylor? Is he gone?
He's left, and I suspect he wouldn't self-incriminate himself anyway, so.
Okay, I just wanted to get it wrong, because, but going on with Joan, we got into a real screaming match the other day on the phone, and I know that she's frustrated, and I'm frustrated, too, because the third-party vendor situation, as well as the charitable organizations, are out there grasping for anything they can get a hold of to get the legislature, the Senate, and the House to hook up to the tongue of the wagon. We've got operators on one wheel, permittees on the other, distributors and vendors. And we need a team out in front of us to initiate this. Senators, their office has initiated a bill, Senate 4, for a gaming commission. An excellent idea. It needs some fine-tuning, but it's something that is needed. The criminal element is talked about in Croquette's bill. I submitted a work draft and I dropped it off at your office and most of the legislators down there. What I felt should be involved in that. I think that that's what the charity organizations, that's what the city councils across the state are saying. If you are a convicted felon, I have convicted felons working for me in the construction business. That's great. Some of them are SISs. That's great. But when you start putting them involved where they're handling large amounts of money, handling the bank, so to speak, like Representative Taylor said, then I have a problem with that. Because usually those people are either convicted in fraud or some type of relationship towards money. We talked about John and No Dice. Great testimony that he gave. Pat Lynn about the dart game. Jam. Don Skew and the third-party vendors. Those people all have good concerns. But I think one individual who really touched me, and I'm very pleased that he showed up today to testify, was Sandy Sanderson. Great individual. I belong to his organization, the Aries Reading Program. I think that he said it all. And I think that Dan McGilvery echoed that same thing. So did Rosemary. They all have concerns about their organization and how they're going to be funded with the shortfall. I think, as legislators, it's time that we got a hold of the wheel, hooked up to the wagon, and begin to grasp everything that's out there and work as a team, instead of letting one group buy their way in, so to speak, and getting back to Joan, Representative Croquette, she said that if there was too much money involved, the operators would not let my request go through. The bill would fail. The third-party vendors would fail. That's fine. If you can't get the criminal element out of the gambling industry, then we don't need gambling. We don't need nonprofit organizations involved in POTABs or bingo. Let's get some self-directed organization gaming by nonprofit organizations who are willing to become involved. If not, too bad. I talked to Governor Hickel about appointing a task force to work with the gaming industry, with the vendors, the operators, the distributors, the manufacturers, and he has elected to let the legislature deal with this, and if they don't deal with it, then he may get involved. But please, go back to Juneau, sit down and hook up to the wagon, and work with all organizations as a team. Don't let one individual group flex their muscles because they've got the buck over the committees or unable to spend their money to flex their muscles. So as I close, I say from the nonprofit organizations on Kodiak Island and around the state of Alaska, we've got one job to do.
7 minutes.
And
that's how long
to have self-directed gaming and the majority of the profits to go in our own pocket. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Jim, for staying with us for so long, and appreciate your testimony today. In Matt Sue, is there anyone there?
Overall, for the year, we had a net profit of $56,000, and we donated $93,000 because we have more than the Pull-Tab operation, naturally. And the only question I have is this Games of Skill permit. I'd like to know what all that is for. I've gotten it for the last 10 years, but I've never understood what it does.
The question is, what are the Games of Skill permit? Is that what it was?
Yes, sir. I've gotten it every year for the last 10 years in case I needed it, but I've never been able to determine what it is.
Let me see if John is still there in Juneau. John, are you still with us in Juneau?
Yes, he is, Mr. Chairman. Just a moment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. One of the authorized activities that a permittee can conduct is a game of skill, and that's specifically what that game of skill permit would authorize you to do. Those are defined as, I believe, marksmanship,
dart throwing,
races, athletic,
races and other athletic events. I'll give you a cite on it. It's in our regulation 15 AAC 105-160 defines what those contests of skill are.
I'm going to read it to him.
If you have any other questions on that, you may want to talk to John more directly.
I got no thanks. That settles it. Thank you very much.
Any other final comments you want to offer, Bill?
No, sir. I'm done. Thank you.
Great. Well, appreciate your taking the time. Is there anyone in any of the other teleconference sites who hasn't yet testified?
Mr. Chairman, this is Fairbanks, and somehow we seem to have been disregarded entirely. I have four people here.
Well, my apologies. It's undoubtedly my fault in shuffling through all the sheets we have. If you could just proceed through, we still have Representative Ivan, myself, Representative Parnell and Juneau, and Representative Bruckman has just stepped out, but she'll be back. So if you could proceed through your testimony there as quickly as possible, we'll that'd be great.
Yeah, my name is Larry Hackemiller, and I represent some of the nonprofit organizations that I've been members of, the Fairbanks Montessori Association. I'm also what everybody's been classified as a third-party vendor. With regards to the regulations that are now existing, the emergency regulations, I think when they first indicated that they could become permanent on April 1st and so on, that they should review them a little closer, because everything that came out of these emergency regulations was basically based on Assistant Attorney General's opinion. And I believe that opinion is at fault because the research wasn't done completely on it, so they're emphasizing it too much. Also, I believe that the regulations per se with regards to make clear with bartenders being employees of a lessor, if I wanted to lease to a nonprofit group, are not able to play or sell or participate in the Pull-Tab games, I think that's a little too restrictive, if not discriminatory. I don't know if that would go very good at all. And in addition, in the packet that we received today on arrival with regards to the regulations prior to the emergency regulations and the House Bill 168, They have a history of their poll tabs, and I am very concerned, as I was playing a particular role with beginning selling poll tabs and bars on the level it's at today in July of 1986, and there are some inconsistencies there, and I think that the history is not representative of the history, but maybe more, or leaves out a few facts. And I think it pays too much attention to alcohol being served in locations. And I think it's more of an effective point against the beverage industry than it is against gaming activities. And I, too, have documentation and tape recordings, as a matter of fact, to support the statements I made with regards to where the Attorney General's opinion may be incorrect. In essence, after they passed the Gaming Reform Act, which lately has been called the Gaming Jobs Act, we had seminars, and the directors of revenue at that time that were speaking for the legislature, the ones that walked this thing through the House and the Senate, basically told us flat out that bar owners are not considered operators. If they are selling a series of pull tabs for a vendor, the state looks upon them as a permittee and will never look upon them as operators with regard to charging a percentage and so on. So we, there was a statement made earlier where in Donnelly's report, I believe, on the history that bars started charging percentages. In essence, in my case, anyway, I didn't start charging percentages until you told me we could at those training seminars regarding the Gaming Reform Act. So up until that time, for 2.5 years, I was selling pull tabs from Montessori at no cost, and I wished to continue to do so now. However, they have refused the permit from Montessori because they consider me to be a vendor, yet I'm actually Montessori, selling pull tabs from Montessori, and it states that it's not the customary location, and I believe that in this specific incident, when they say customary location, that the department is exceeding statutory authority, where statute indicates that all I have to do, and it's referenced several times, is notify the department when applying for permit of the location where the activities are going to be placed, and statute also addresses the situation with regards to licensing location, basically says you have to post a copy of the permit at a location in the business, and if statute requires that we have to give notice to the department where the permit or where the activities are going to take place, and that we're going to post that permit on the wall, I don't see where the department has the authority to indicate what is customary. Because if it is customary, my location, which was selling pull tabs prior to the Gaming Reform Act, during the walk-a-thon of it going through legislature, and after the Reform Act with regards to the training seminars and so on, basically authorized by those people in the revenue department that followed this thing through, my place, I guess, would be the customary location. And I wish to emphasize that I am not a vendor, even though I'm a bar owner, and my bartenders are volunteering their time with no compensation. In essence, this emergency regulation prevents me as a volunteer or anyone else as a volunteer to donate their time in this specific cause, and I'm not mistaken, the intent of this whole thing of allowing nonprofit groups a tool to raise money for their specific needs in the community was given to them for that purpose. And if you can't do it for anything, then I don't think the intent's met there. With regards to House Bill 168, it's damn good work, and it addresses a lot of the problems we face today. To go even further, number one, we do need to establish a gaming board. Number two, it'd be a lot easier, I think, just to eliminate operators and allow anybody to sell pull tabs. That way you wouldn't have this big problem here. If you want to specify customary locations, do it for bingo halls. That would allow some of the private clubs that have before to sustain their businesses and so on. We have talked about percentages and so on and so forth. In essence, I think if you're going to meet the intent of this whole chapter 15, with regards to games of chance, gambling for nonprofit groups to raise money for their particular group, I think what you should determine the percentages on is to assure that if you're going to have this and you're going to operate it as a permittee or a qualified organization, you should retain more money than you spend in operations of the game. Otherwise, it's more per se gambling than it is charitable gaming. And that would be your all-around system that would basically address how much someone should get paid. If you can't keep $51 out of that ideal profit as a permittee after paying all expenses involved with pull tabs, then I think you shouldn't be allowed to operate. It doesn't meet the intent. So, again, as the man that don't think we should be so specific with regards to who is selling poll tabs, as to make sure the money gets where it belongs, as was the intent of getting this games or tax permit to begin with. Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony today. We can rejoin you by Representative Don. Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I think it's very commendable as they did the full time activities on a volunteer basis before the 88 Act. And I also agree with the witness that that should be allowed to continue as a volunteer activity. It was never the intent of the statute to prevent that. And I've expressed that concern to the department. I would explain to the witness, though, that the legislature is not the administrative branch of government. There's an executive branch, administrative, and a legislative branch, and the Department of Revenue was not representing us when they put on those seminars, because it was clearly improper advice given to the public, violated. It was in conflict with an existing Attorney General opinion that was given in 1988 during the drafting of the Act. And in fact, the Department of Revenue never bothered to check with the AG when it attempted to promulgate regulations, because I think they knew they were illegal. So they were way out of line saying that to you, sir, and I'm really sorry they did. I've been telling people for years that they were out of line. I'm sorry that it came to this point. It took all these years before the Attorney General finally put their foot down on this stuff. We should have fixed this problem years ago if just would have had that resolution back then.
I also wanted to apologize again to people in Fairbanks for forgetting you earlier. We do, though, still have 5 of the 7 committee members in attendance, so it's still timely, your testimony. Could the next person approach Mike?
Yeah, my name is Frank Gold. I'm the executive director of QA Incorporated, and we're a permittee.
You need your notepad?
And I guess, you know what he's gonna say. Apparently, Representative Choquette's bill is going to be up this next week for some public hearing. Other than indicating that with very minor changes, that bill looks like a major resolution to much of the problems that have been occurring. We're a permittee that have our permit in hand because we've been operating our own pull tab operation for over a year now. Maybe we were tremendously insightful, but we anticipated some of what occurred this past December 31st. So some of what I'm going to say doesn't necessarily apply to us directly, but the entire discussion that's been going on, and this is now 2 months, 2 full months since the closure of most pull tab third vendor operations. We're talking about the third party vendors, we're talking about operators, we're talking about everyone except the people that matter most, and that's the permittee. And there are agencies that are small that are, if not out of business, on the verge of being out of business. It seems to me that if there's a way that the legislature can get it together to pass something on an emergency basis, the way we look at regulations on an emergency basis, it would be a major way of resolving much of what's going on. Those agencies are, for whatever reason, have become dependent on much of that funding, part of it having to do with inadequate funds coming from the legislature, part of it having to do with maybe being spoiled after the last 3 or 4 years. But the bottom line is the services that are being provided. And I, to kind of support what was said just recently, he was talking about $51 out of every 100 in the net being advantageous. The 60% seems to be pretty good. And Choquette's bill, and I've been on record before saying that if we had our druthers, what we ought to do is put a sign up that says, if you win anything in bull tabs, it's an accident. We really meant all the money to go to the nonprofit charities to support some particular socially appropriate program. One final point. We keep talking about the amount of money that's going around in this gaming activity, and obviously there are many millions of dollars that are being spread around. But with regard to pull tabs, we're talking about an ideal net that is really somewhere between, I may have my numbers wrong at both extremes, but it's somewhere between 15% and 25% of the total amount being expended, the total gross, that actually is going to be going into the available expenditure end after it's done. In other words, the money that's there for the nonprofit as well as for
puts it in a little different perspective than the multiple millions. We're talking about a somewhat smaller amount. The other side of that is to look at the fact that is it how much if I bought a box of pull tabs all by myself as a as someone who's in a pull tab parlor, if I spend $100, the chances are fairly good, just as statistically, that I would get somewhere between $85 and $75 back. So when we're talking about the damages that some of has been expressed with regard to gambling, we're not talking about a major loss, even if you're talking about $1,000 expended by an individual. The individual, just in terms of statistics, should wind up with between $750 and $850 back in their pocket again when it's done, which means they would have spent $150 or $250. I'm not saying that's a minor amount of money, but I think it needs to be kept in some kind of perspective as to what's really happening in terms of gaming. And finally, the last point, one of the easiest solutions, I think, would be to stop making distinctions between the third-party vendors and operators. Why don't we just eliminate operators, deal with third-party vendors as they are defined in Representative Choquette's bill, and the limitations that are indicated there, where 60% at least of the ideal net is going to go back to the nonprofit agency. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. If the next person could testify, we're going to try to, in fact, we have to end the teleconference at 6, so anything you can do to shorten your comments would be great.
Is John Hanson still there?
John, are you there, you know?
Yes, he is, Mr. Chairman. Just a moment.
Hey, let's have the witness proceed. I think he was just asking if he's there.
I needed to clarify something. My name is Kent Setzer. I am a licensed distributor in the state of Alaska, DL-91-001. Today we are required to use a new Alaska stamp there to be supplied with all deals in a given case. They are all, a number is assigned to each set, which also has a serial number. I need to have some clarification on that so that we know where we're going with this. People are calling up saying any number of things on how does this work. We were asked to give a complete inventory to the state on February 1st, in which case they would send back stamps covering those serial numbers. I just got mine a week and a half ago. The way I understand this is that as of March 1st, all pull tabs must have the stamp. Now, my question is that I need clarification on it. What happens to all the games that were sold during February? I'm assuming that our February reports will be sufficient, but I'd like to know from John what direction we're going. I don't want an investigator going into a place that has not been given a stamp and possibly the game's not over with, but it was the middle of February. I had no stamps. They had no stamps. They were also supposed to send in an inventory of their serial numbers, but what happens to the stuff after that?
John, this is David in Anchorage. If you could answer as quickly as you can, and if there's details you need to follow up on, maybe have a phone conversation.
You bet. I'll make it real quick. The inventory, as you were required, as the distributor was also required from permittees, and we have fulfilled all the requests for those stamps. If there's inventory out there that doesn't have stamps, whether it's a permittees or yours, you need to notify us so we can get you those stamps. We understand this is a transition and it isn't going to happen tomorrow, but it will need to be taken care of, and we've actually just finished drafting a letter of transition rules, which we'll be sending out probably next week. If you need specific questions answered, give me a call in my office.
I'm just telling my people to do exactly what you said, but I just didn't want to have anyone have a violation given to them at this point. No directions were sent, and I'm glad to hear they're going.
Thank you, Mr. Setzer. Is there another person in Fairbanks still?
to wait till the end. Is there anyone else on the telecom network?
Certified return receipt.
Any site outside of Anchorage you'd like to testify?
$1,050 mailing, so it gets expensive if you do that. But we mail
is Robert, you want to testify? Anyone in Anchorage wants to testify?
It's going to happen.
Well, we've reached, unless someone pipes in the last few seconds, we've reached the end of the teleconference. I want to express my appreciation to John Hansen and all your help you've given. Appreciation to all the people on teleconference who had to wait so long. And we still have attendance, Representative Parnell, Representative Bruckman, Representative Ivan, Representative Finkelstein, Representative Donnelly, and the sponsor one of those we've been talking about today, Representative Choquette. My appreciation to them as well for their endurance. Thank you all, and we'll be talking about this bill next week.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Juno signs off. I thought they did.
Well, thank you for inviting me over.
Waiting it through. It's a good thing you stayed.
Yeah, there's always one at the end. If I'd snuck out, they'd say, that Hanson snuck out.
Probably.